Moncrief on News Talk.
Do you fix stuff or do you replace it?
No, generally, I would replace it. Just because it's a time issue. Don't have time to repair. Got young children, so yeah.
Like a TV, a washing machine, or
oh, I fix 100%.
You do fix.
Well, if I can't, I'll get my ask my dad if he can.
So your dad will fix it.
Yeah,
and what
hopefully.
About clothes? Would you get them altered or?
I love to alter them myself. Or if not, I go down to the there's a seamstress there at the end of the road. So if something doesn't fit me, I go do that before I buy something else.
Replacer.
Why'd you replace?
It's easier. My name is Tony Rooney and I live in Balbriggan and I'm a cobbler the last 24 years.
24 years a cobbler, and yeah. We're here at Crilly Shoe Repairs in the Pavilion.
In the Pavilion, yeah.
In Swords,
yeah.
In the North County of Dublin. Are people still coming in? Are they getting their shoes repaired?
Not as much as when I first started. You know, like, let's say 24 years ago, people. More, they wore leather shoes more, you know, Church's, Barker's, but there would be more ladies getting shoes fixed, like, you know, stiletto heels and stuff like that. I'm still kept going, I'm still busy, but the customers we would have at the counter, you know, their shoes, their favourite pair of shoes, they want to look after them, they want to restore them, you
so
know.
So sentimental value.
Exactly.
They mean something.
Exactly, exactly.
And no one can compete with that.
No. Like, once they have a pair of shoes that broke in, especially older gentlemen, like you said, going back the old Barker shoes or Church's, you know, they want to resole them. Because once you put a new sole on them, they're back to a new shoe.
What would it cost to have my shoes, the ones I'm wearing now, with new soles, roughly?
New sole and heel would be €45. But they're looking at your shoes, they probably set you back quite a bit more.
Well, they were probably about 160.
Well, there you go. Once you get a sole and heel on it, you're back to a new shoe. And it's, I'm sure they're like a slipper to you because they're so broke in and they're so
lovely.
Well worn. Exactly, exactly. So that's, it's worth it in the end.
Hi, I'm Jo Lenehan and I'm a sustainability journalist and advocate.
Jo, the fact that so many of us, we just throw it away, it breaks. It could be an item of clothing that's a bit torn or it could be a washing machine. Why aren't we trying harder to fix it?
I think the really simple answer is that we're, you know, conventionally a very wealthy country, and typically the wealthier a country becomes, the less likely it is to repair things. It's very, very cheap, convenient to order something new, to buy new and to replace rather than repair. So we're really living in a society where to repair things takes effort, and when people are busy and they have the extra cash, why not just replace it?
You do try and fix and repair.
I do, and I think back to my school days, and I'm so grateful that I was taught to sew. You know, I love fashion.
You can sew.
I can sew, and I do. I'll sew a button, I'll darn a jumper, and you know, there's something really lovely about that. I also really engage with local craftspeople. For instance, down here in Fairview, there's an amazing cobbler who I go to regularly, and he has repaired, you know, some of my favorite boots and shoes. So I think really what's been lost is a connection with our belongings. I think when people actually value what we own and value what we have, you're more likely to invest in them. So I think it's about really finding that connection and wanting to repair things and keep things longer.
Tell me about the right to repair legislation.
This is fascinating, and I don't think it's anything that really has gotten a lot of publicity or that consumers may not know about, but there was new legislation brought in by the EU in 2024, and member states have until July of this year to implement it, and it's called the Right to Repair. People can look this up. It's a really amazing new initiative that will put the pressure back on manufacturers, and it will basically say that if you have a faulty item, the manufacturer will have to repair that item if it's cheaper than replacing it, and if it's more convenient. So what that is really going to do is it's going to help consumers repair things that break. I think back to a couple of years ago when Apple actually brought out a repair kit for consumers, and it got a lot of press because it was really impossible to repair an iPhone. But this is the idea, is that consumers should be empowered to make repairs. So people can look into that, and you know, if you have an item that's broken, ask your manufacturer. And then I would also encourage people to look at two different resources. Circular.ie is an amazing resource. You can find out about circular workshops and repair workshops in your area if you want to get involved. And then if you have something that's broken and you want to repair it, you can head to repairmystuff.ie. There is a national directory there for all of the repair workshops and services, and pretty much everything there can be fixed. So you can find something locally or someone locally who can either fix it for you or teach you how to fix something, which is fantastic.
Yeah, my name is Carl Farley from Mastercare here on the Holt Road.
How long have you been here?
I'd say probably about 40 years.
And you've been fixing things all those years?
Oh, yeah.
So everything from, there's an old KitchenAid here,
yeah,
to
up to
washing machines.
Ovens, washing machines, fridge freezers, cookers, across the board, yeah, everything.
And somebody's just coming in out of the rain.
Yeah.
You're busy, they're ringing up, there we go. People want things fixed.
Yeah, they do want things fixed, yeah. And very really, there's people coming in, walking in, just getting spare parts. So they're coming in, buying parts and fitting them themselves. In other instances, basically, they'll actually, if they have a problem, they ring in on the phone. If they have a problem, maybe with a tumbler or whatever the hell, this weather, what they'll do is, obviously, they have the option to get somebody to fix the drawer in the house, or else they can bring the drawer into the workshop. And the drawer, if they bring them into the appliances into the workshop, they'll be checked out free of charge. There's no charge for doing that, but obviously the appliances have to be brought in. So that's basically where our business is. And then once that happens, you're in a situation whereby when you inspect the product or the appliance, see what parts are needed. If the parts are available, well and good, you price up the parts. And if it's going to be feasible to fix it, we'll go ahead and fix it. If it's a situation where it's not feasible to fix it, we'll obviously maybe look at a replacement or whatever. And that's where we are. And that's the nature of our business.
Hi, my name is Liz Breslin.
Liz, how many years have you been fixing things?
Approximately 30, over 30 years. I enjoy the work, yeah, I do. The odd time an appliance will come along that you can't get part for, or they're just too difficult to repair. And some of the newer machines now, they make them that they're not easily repairable like they were years ago.
So they deliberately make them harder to repair?
Well, I don't know about that now. It's probably more cost effective to make them like that, you know.
I find the trend is people are starting to repair stuff, but believe it or not, we'd have people coming up to the counter that they're after buying, let's say, a good pair of Karen Millen shoes or something like that in a charity shop, right? But they want them fixed up, you
so
know.
They're buying stuff in a charity shop,
yeah,
and vintage, as they're calling it now, secondhand stuff,
yeah,
and they're getting it fixed,
and they're coming back and they're getting it fixed,
and they're delighted,
exactly, you know what I mean. And I think that is the way to go, it really is, because, like, you know, you have young people and they're worried about, like, yeah, environmental change and all. And one of the biggest issues is actually fast fashion, you know what I mean. So they're recycling stuff more.
When we take Brazil, there's a fixer for everything.
Yeah.
Could it be the fact that we are a developed country and Brazil is developing, and we're spoiled? Is this the reason, and we need to bring back cobblers out there?
Not only cobblers, everything. There's a place here as well that fixes up clothes, and it's what's needed, I think. Especially when, if you buy quality, okay, it's going to last, you know, so you might as well get it fixed up.
Your brother was also, or is also, a cobbler. Do you worry that your trade will die out?
Yeah, I don't know if the generation after me will go into this industry, as well as the shoes. Like, I do keys as well, you know what I mean?
And we always need keys.
Exactly, you know. So, and, like, also I sell orthopedic stuff, you know what I mean, for people that suffer with their feet, whether it's plantar fasciitis or arch support or heel spore. I take care of that for people as well.
My kettle's about to go. Am I right to buy a new one, or should I try and get it fixed?
Well, believe it or not, small appliances, getting them fixed is a thing of the past.
That's
because,
gone.
Like, yeah, like, realistically, the minimum repair charge on a kettle or a toaster or an iron nowadays would be about 25 or 30 euros. You'll buy one for 39 euro. So, you know, there's no point.
And this KitchenAid here, it could be 50 years old.
Oh, yeah, it's
a bit complicated because it's American.
Yeah, it's American. The part's not available on that one, so it isn't. But the likes of the vacuum cleaners that work down, in some instances, they might need motors. But, like, in the likes of the Miele or the Nilfisk or the Pneumatic, like, they're all fairly good machines. They're worth putting motors into, or let's say, going to expensive, yeah, putting motors in them, if you know what I mean. Some of the, let's say, less expensive machines, the cheap and cheerful, you know, if they break down, we'd be telling people maybe to just go off and buy new ones.
Why aren't we like in the olden days? We used to get everything fixed. We'd get stuff you know, altered. We try.
It's just the society we live in. Everyone's just it's broken, just replace it. That's the way. Now, especially with landlords and so forth, and so on, they just don't want the hassle with maybe tenants in their house and so forth and so on, where they're going to have to wait to get something repaired or wait for parts to come in from the suppliers and so forth and so on. They just want to put a new machine in there and just get it sorted.
Do you enjoy fixing things?
Oh, yeah. We do.
You get a buzz?
We do. We still get a buzz, yeah.
And you turn something around and it's almost new.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, exactly. It comes in, it's broken, you just put it right. And that's basically for the customer or whatever, be it an oven, be it a hob or a washing machine or whatever the hell, with the best will in the world, yeah. We do our best.
And it's good for the circular economy?
Oh, yeah, of course it's good, yeah. As time progresses, I notice now people they're not prepared to wait, and they want to gesture
now.
Oh, they want to gesture, yeah, yeah.
Do you love what you do?
Oh, we do, yeah, we do indeed.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 on News Talk, conversation that counts.